The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Hey everybody, this is Jay Young with The Jay Young Show, sponsored by King Operating. Today we're going to have our special guest today is something that I'm sure nobody's heard of, and I think that's the reason why Ms. Littlefield has come up and written this book and done all the things that she's getting her name out, not only to help her son's name, but also to help charities. And it's a lot of great charity work you're doing. I mean, it's really, really fantastic. I'm really excited to show you. So, Judy, welcome to the show today.
Thank you for me being here.
Absolutely. Love for you to be here. And you're writing a book called The Other Man Down. The Other Man Down. We're going to learn more about that, associated with the Chris Kyle incident back in 2013, right?
Exactly.
So before we go into the specifics about that, tell me more about you and your family and your son. What's his name and where you guys grew up? And how did you become affiliated with...
I grew up down in the valley, born and raised down there, and married my high school sweetheart down there, had a son, and then we relocated to Dallas. He went on the Dallas Police Department, and that marriage ended in divorce. And 2 years later, I met Coach Littlefield, who was a high school football coach then, and Coach had never been married, never had any children or anything. So he wanted a child. So we started trying to have a child, and that resulted in 3 miscarriages. I finally got pregnant with Chad, and he was our miracle baby.
Wow.
And brought him up, and he was due on February the 14th, so he was our love baby too, but he decided to come on the 11th instead. So
what year is this? Approximately what year was he born?
77.
Not approximately, I guess it was exactly what year. So he's born in 1977, okay. Uh-huh. Where were you? Still down in the valley? Or you're in Dallas?
No, we were in Dallas. Okay. We had relocated to DeSoto.
Okay.
Just south of Dallas, and lived out there. And
is your husband still a coach at this time?
No, we're both retired.
Yeah.
And he put in 27 years in the Dallas system. So we're both living the life.
Living the life. Great. Chad grows up, he grew up there, DeSoto, or where did he grow up?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
Both my boys did, played football and the whole thing. And Chad has a little girl, and the little girl was playing soccer. And that's where Chad met Chris Kyle out on the soccer fields. They were watching their little girls play soccer, and of course both of them had to help coach.
Right,
you know?
Right. So, okay. How old were the kids?
They were 7 at the time.
7 at the time. Okay.
Well, 6.
So that's how Chad met Chris, by both coaching, playing soccer.
Exactly.
Well, I know that when your kids are playing, and you know when your kids are playing sports, all the parents get real close, and you're with everybody all the time, and also that's good. So that's where they met.
And Chad was not military.
Okay.
But he was helping Chris. Chris would tell him about different things that he had done in the military. They just bonded as friends and as coaching dads, you know.
Right. So, should we go back and should we tell anybody and everybody there is who Chris Kyle is? I mean, I don't know if any of my friends know, but let's just talk about a couple things about Chris Kyle real quick. American Sniper. I mean, one of the most decorated soldiers that we have. An incredible book. Here this guy is. He has gone over, done a lot of tours.
Four tours,
and you know, known as the American Sniper, has this movie made after him. Mm-hmm. All the different things. So if you don't know anything about Chris Kyle, we really want you to go and learn about him. I met him twice, and just being around him is just unbelievable with all the different people and the things that happened. And the sacrifice that he did. So, you know, so Chris and your son, Chad, became good friends, soccer parents, mm-hmm. if you will. and just became good friends. And then Chad, they kind of became good friends, just knowing each other and being around, and seemed to, you know, not very often you get that connection, but they had
and
a good...
especially with Chris, because he didn't trust, he was Navy SEAL, and he didn't trust a whole lot of people,
right?
And him and Chad just bonded. And you know, funny story, they Chris found out there was a guy came back and had lost both limbs, and they were on vacation, the families were on vacation out at Port Aransas, and Chris sent the girls, you know, they sent them to SeaWorld or something. And Chris told Chad, said, I'm going to go buy a book and we're going to spend the afternoon with this guy over at Lackland. And they drove up to Walmart. And Chad said, what are you coming here for? And he said, well, I'm going to get my book. Chad said, your book isn't going to be at Walmart. Chad said, they walked in and here's this big set, you know, with the Chris Kyle, the American Sniper. He told him, he said, looked at Chris, he said, you must be Chris Kyle. So, you know, that was the thing. They were friends first. You know, they told everybody we were friends before the book.
Right.
So,
that's true. That's one way you found out is going to Walmart. There you go. And just thinking, okay, we're going to go there. No, you're not book
signing. Wow, you must be really the legend.
You are somebody. Yeah, that's great. So, that's a great story.
Anyway, Chris was trying to transition back into civilian life. And, of course, Chad had the community. He had the family. He had the job. He had everything that Chris was trying to achieve. And, you know, they just bonded.
Mm.
And Chad was, whatever Chris needed, if he needed to be silent that day, they would get up and go work out at 5 o'clock every morning.
Wow.
Because Chris realized the... value of mental health and working out. And of course, Chad just wanted to look good, you know. So anyway, they'd go work out. And if Chris needed to be quiet that day,
mm-hmm.
they would just work out and go on to work. If he needed to talk, well, Chad was a good listener.
Right.
And he would listen to whatever Chris
was. So how much they bond, or how much did Chad really know about Chris's background and the whole sniper issue and the four tour? Did he know a lot, or was he connecting that way, or just connect more in friends, or was it more military soundboard?
He would listen to what Chris had to say, and Chris told him quite a few things. And Chad was, you know, after the book, before it went to the publisher, well, Chad thumbed through it. Chris, you know, let him do it.
Right.
And Chad started working with Chris and fundraisers and, you know, just Chad was a very patriotic kid. And he'd come by my house and he'd say, what'd you do for a veteran today?
Mm.
Well, nothing. But, you know, he was always here, do this for a veteran, or go buy this, or, you know, sign up for this. Or,
wow.
So
even though he didn't do any military.
No military. And I told him one day, I said, son, you should, you know, be a first responder, because he was always helping someone.
Right.
And he said, Mom, you don't have to wear a uniform to help your fellow man.
That's true.
So, anyway, him and Chris were just kind of a duo, you know, and Chris was going about his business. Chad had, you know, friends and things. That they weren't together all the time.
Right,
but, they would always go out on.
Right. So they went hunting, or went shooting, I guess. So do you want to start the day of the shooting? Do you want to go into that?
We can.
Good time to go into that. I know it's a tough time for you.
Chad
and all
had texted me that morning and told me, he said, Chris and I are going out to the range and down at Glen Rose. And he said, we've got a Marine that's not doing well and he needs to get out for the day.
Mm.
So, and that's the last I heard from Chad. So I knew he was at the range. And then, of course, that night, Taya, Chris's wife, called me and said I needed to come over there, that an accident had happened.
Wow.
So,
because that's what if I remember correctly in the book and in the movie and everything, but they Chris had looked for people and didn't really know this guy very well. I mean, he just knew he was hard on his luck. He said, hey, come on out.
His mother had asked Chris, to, he was having a hard time of transitioning. And his mother, at the school where the kids went, our my granddaughter and Trista's kids, if he would, you know, call her son and, you know, get with him and try to help him. And,
right.
Of course, that's what Chris was about, was helping.
Helping people, yeah.
Yeah, helping. Especially
but didn't know this guy real well. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, he'd known him for years or anything else. He just, and he took him shooting for the day.
Yeah.
He said, I'll take you hunting. We'll go shooting range, shooting at Rough Creek Lodge in Glenrose. And obviously, you know, at that point turned and shot both your son and Chris Kyle.
Yes.
At that, and man, that was just a heart wrenching. I mean, I couldn't believe everything that went on with that and the mind of what's in somebody's mind. Anything they ever find out, follow up from all that?
Well, in a court of law, it was proven he had spent the weekend doing drugs and alcohol.
Mm.
And I don't know if he had any. He said he had post-traumatic stress, but it was proven in a court of law that he did not.
Wow.
And that he didn't have that. But I think it was just, he was just high.
Wow.
You know, and he was in custody before they identified Chad, because Chad's wallet was in Chris's truck, and the perpetrator had stolen Chris's truck.
Oh, wow.
That night. So
wow.
It was late that night before I knew when they told me that Chris had been shot, that his friend, I knew who his friend was because Chad had texted me that morning.
You knew he was at the range shooting that day with Chris. You knew that. And when you heard that Chris Kyle had been shot with a friend, you knew.
Yeah.
At that time, it was your son.
So, and everybody kept saying, his friend. And that's the reason I wrote the book, was so many people do not know two men were killed that day.
Right.
And there was a text on the way down there. And Chris texted Chad and said, "This guy's crazy."
Mm.
And Chad texted him back and said, "Yeah, and he's right behind me, so watch my six," which is military for watch my back.
Wow.
And that's what Chad was doing when they were shot, was watching Chris's back. And, you know, that's when he counted the ammunition that Chris had and knew when Chris was out.
Right.
And then he shot Chad, and he had to shoot Chris because he knew Chris had killed him for taking his friend out.
Yeah.
So it was just such a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the day before, and I know that God gives us nuggets if we can find them, but Chad came by my house the day before on a Friday for lunch. He worked close by. And we spent the time talking about where he was spiritually. Not that we never mentioned God, but that was odd. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he spent 3 hours there for his lunch.
For lunch.
And then he left, and he always kissed me and said, "I love you." But he walked to his truck that day and put his stuff in there and turned around and came back.
Wow.
And hugged his dad, said, "I love you, Dad." And kissed me again.
Doesn't happen very often. That wasn't a normal.
Yeah.
Normal is an hour
and
lunch.
And that's the thing. So many people say, "Oh, if I just had one more kiss, if I just had one more, I love you." So that was a given for us that, you know, we knew where he was spiritually and that we did have our goodbyes.
Right, right.
So.
Golly. So where is this shooter now? Is he still in custody or?
He got life without parole.
Life without parole.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And in Texas, that means that he will never get out.
Never see light, yeah.
So, the DA told us it was difficult if we'd have gone for the death penalty, of which we were going to.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? I mean, it took two people's lives.
That's
right. So.
But you, in the state of Texas, you have to get 14 people that agree to the death penalty. You have to have 12 jurors and 2 alternates in case there's a sickness or something.
Right.
And he said, getting 14 people, we may still be there, you know, getting 14 people to agree on the death penalty.
Wow. Well, so, if you'd gone to Texas Stadium, you probably could have gotten
exactly.
You probably could have gotten 12 or 14 people to sign off on it right then.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you what.
Well, I've had a lot of Marines. This was an ex-Marine, and they said, you know, just give us a few minutes and we can take care of that matter. So, but
take care of the signatures or take care of him?
Or
you probably shouldn't say that out loud. No, I'm just kidding.
But,
wow, that is so unfortunate. So during that time, your son, I mean, obviously nobody likes to outlive their kids, right? You know, we all know that. And that's an unfortunate time. So where does that, what are you doing now? What how are you trying to get past that? I know he's grieving. I mean, that's got to be tough. And your son's is a hero, in my opinion. I mean, getting to know Chris Kyle on that level and dying for helping out this deranged kid or whoever.
Okay, and the day before, Chad told me, he said, Mom, I'd take a bullet any day for Chris.
Oh, wow.
I said, you quit talking like that. I don't want to hear that. But that's exactly what he did the next day. So, but...
They were that good of friends, or they were that mm-hmm. tight. Wow.
And the military, Chad was not military, but military's been so good to us.
Mm-hmm.
Veterans and all branches mm-hmm. That have surrounded us and loved us. And I'm Mama Littlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So many of these young soldiers, their moms have passed away, or they're, disranged from their parents or something.
Right.
But I'm Mama Littlefield.
Wow.
So they have just loved me and taken care of me. And I had a guy ask me one time, he said, how in the world can you go on these fundraisers and help veterans when it was a veteran that killed your son?
Mm.
I said, you can't lump them all in one batch. You just can't do that. So that's what we're doing now.
Being more helpful.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, we decided early on we were going to get better over this situation and not bitter.
There you go.
We were not going to live a life of anger and revenge, and because we would be the ones that would be hurt.
Right.
And so we, anytime there is an organization that has anything that wants us to attend, and we do and lend our name. And, my son serves on the board of Operation Valor, which is a fundraiser for veterans. And that's what we do. We just...
Wow. Getting your name out, or getting your son's name out, Chad Littlefield, mm-hmm. right? You're doing the book. I think everybody can see the book. The Other Man Down, A Mother's Journey After the American Sniper Tragedy, Judy Littlefield. Just talking about the book and getting the book out there, and what is it the most important? Or what have you seen, I guess, here lately about when you're telling your story and somebody, does everybody understand that there was a second person, or how does it help? How can you help everybody else?
Well, the question I'm asked all the time is, there were two people killed that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started asking, who was Chad Littlefield?
Mm-hmm.
And why was his death not as important as Chris? I said, it was to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was very important because that was my son.
Right.
And to be quite frank with you, the point was a person on Facebook said, oh, I thought Chad was the one that killed Chris. I said, I'm writing a book. I'm going to inform people that I can put a stop.
It was not my son. It was he was there, and he was the other person that was helping.
Right.
So anyway,
that's the reason I decided to write the book, is to let people know two people were killed, two men were killed that day, and who Chad was, and
right.
all about it.
Okay, good. So you're out there doing fundraisers, you're letting everybody know that there was a second person with Chris, that was Chris's good confidant, if you will, and good friend, and doing these fundraisers. So American Valor is one, and you mentioned before the show, you mentioned something about,
well, we're not connected with Valor. Well,
right.
We're with Operation Valor.
Operation Valor, you're uh-huh. just helping support, as a lot of people do. And And 22 kill, you mentioned that, is we've had Lombardo on the show before. We all did 22 push-ups, and I donated $22 from three or four, five. I think the whole studio. We did The whole studio, we tried to do 22 push-ups. I think everybody did 22 push-ups. I shouldn't say we tried to. We all did at least 22 push-ups, and we gave $22 for that, which is a great. Is there any other type of fundraisers you do, or is that how you get your name out, or how you get your name, not say get your name out? It's not about you. It's more about your son, and you feel this need, I guess, to make sure that you know your son's out there, and your son was with Chris and wasn't the one that shot him, but he was the one that that got shot, obviously. Yeah. And is there anything else that you're doing to get your name out there, or any other reasons that that you see fit, I guess, on wanting to make sure that your son's name is cleared?
The main reason that I did the book, I hope some of these veterans find inspiration and a hope in reading the book. It's so sad that 22 Kill is all about 22 veterans a day commit suicide because they cannot transition and
deal with life.
Yeah,
get back in there. Civilian life.
Yeah,
getting back after the war and.
Anyway, I hope that they can find inspiration and in the book and transition. Right.
That's great. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, anytime that you can have any type of activity that you're out there talking to people and telling people about, you know, your son and it's your son, but it's also about helping other people. But you got to be careful. I mean, not everybody out there. You can trust everybody, right? Exactly. So you got to make sure that you are careful. And I know there's a lot of different situations. And I know that Dan had said that it wasn't necessarily about 22 people that they know commit suicide a day, because there's a lot of them that overdose or do whatever, and they don't really call those suicides. But there's a lot of people out there that are just – the war affected so many people in so many different ways,
right,
that you really have to be careful. It's not just – you know, it's not the same person. The person that goes through that post-traumatic stress is not dealing with it in the same way. And so you really have to, you know, love on them and care for them, but you got to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to be careful. We're sorry. So sorry you had to lose your son because of that. And I'm really glad that you're getting out there and not just going home and not doing anything about it. I mean, you're out there writing a book. You're on the Jay Young Show. You're doing a lot of things to get your name out there.
Well, and that's the thing. It is so much easier to stay in bed, pull those covers up, and not deal with life.
Right.
But I had a veteran tell me, he said, you know, Chad would have wanted you out there living life and doing everything you could to carry on his legacy.
Right.
I said, you are so right.
Right. That's great.
So,
that is so great.
And the book was therapeutic.
Yeah.
You know, I had to go to... a lot of areas that were dark, but I came through them. And, you know, when you deal with things like that head on, they get smaller. They're not quite as big as the big picture. And
right.
And I tell everybody I deal with grief like waves or a wrecked ship. At first, you're hit with 100-foot waves, and you hang on to a picture, anything you can not to drown. And that's the way grief is. At first, you just do anything you can to survive. And then later on, you're still getting hit with the waves, but they're not 100-foot waves anymore, you know, but they still coming. You know?
Right,
so,
right.
About the time I think I got this licked and, you know, then I have a bad day.
Right.
And of course the guys were killed on February 2nd, so of 2013. And that's always a day that we just like to, I like to be with Chad that time, you know, just go out to the cemetery or whatever.
So, right. I bet it's hard. I know it is. No question about it. There's a lot of things that, a lot of emotions that go into that, but man, the other 364 days a year, you're out there, you know, doing something for his name. And I think
I'm at the point that we can celebrate Chad's life instead of mourn his death.
Right.
And, you know, that's a good place to be and getting better.
That's great.
So
that is so good.
And, you know, Jay, the greatest fear a mother has is that her son will be forgotten, that he ever existed. And I want Chad to be remembered, him and Chris, that people don't... forget them, that they realize the heroes that they were.
Right.
And continue to remember them.
That's great. That's great. Well, I'll tell you what, by the way, what a great mother, what a great cheerleader for her son, you know. So here Judy is, you know, lost her son, which is probably one of the worst things that could ever happen to a mother. Obviously, you know, you love your kids, you want to spend every day with them, and you want to see them grow old and bury you, in a sense of the word, when you're 100 right. years old or whatever, right? But this happened, and all of a sudden, she's out there cheerleading for her son, loving on her son every day, thinking about him. And not only that, but doing something for veterans and for people to make sure that you know what? Hey, there was somebody with Chris, you know, not advertising that as much as just, you know what? There's a lot of people out there that need love, that need help, but be careful. Mm-hmm. You know, be careful. This serving war, I've met a lot of people that have served Iraq and Vietnam and a lot of other wars, and they're not just the same 100% people that somebody grew up and just went to school in some small town and never had to deal with all that. So, man, I tell you, we applaud you, Judy. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. And everybody, grab a copy of the book. You can get it on
Tactical16.com.
That's it. But you can go to Barnes & Noble, you go to Amazon, but pick up a copy of the book, The Other Man Down, and enjoy this book, and enjoy, you know, love your heroes, love the people that went to fight for your country, but also, you know, just make sure that you're careful and do the things necessary. So thank you so much, everybody, for being on the show. We had another great guest. Judy, thanks for being here. Obviously, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Showing support for your son. And everybody, if you like this show and have other questions, go back below on the subscribe button. Subscribe and write to us and tell us who else you want to see. So we appreciate you, and thank you so much. Have a great day.